Now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Hi, everybody. Bob and Ray show again. A happy Tuesday and a happy March. We're coming on like lions today.
Boy, there's not much more left of winter, is there?
But we'll flee the scene in about 15 minutes as mild as a lamb, gentle as a lamb. We have Ballinger, the medalist, here. Ballinger, come on out. Let's get to you right away because...
Go ahead, Ray.
After we've got a nice audience here with us today.
Yes, I sensed that when I came into the studio this evening.
Mr. Ballinger, after you go do your
list. Ballinger is the name, F-O-L-L.
Now, on my rundown sheet, it's spelled F-A-R-L-I-N-G-E-R. How do you,
spelled wrong.
How do you spell it?
F-O-L-L-I-N-G-E-R.
Oh, let me... I don't know. If I don't do these things myself, somebody backstage manages to ruin it for me. Turns me up. All right.
Are you ready for my first experiment into extrasensory perception?
Just a second. Would somebody check and see who made this rundown sheet for me?
That was me, Ray, Victor Bruce Collin.
How long have you been with us, not counting tomorrow, Victor?
Well, I was, as you may remember, the stand-in for Bob when you were looking for another Bob.
Oh,
voice.
And you did this, huh? Well,
hi, Bob.
Let me explain a few things to you. I'm very touchy about my rundown sheets. If they're not gem perfect, I fly into a tizzy.
Well, I've never met this gentleman here who does the mind reading act, and I just took his name from what people told me. I thought it was Ballinger.
Okay.
Well, it's Ballinger.
That's Mr. Ballinger, and he's all set to enthrall the audience. So, what are you going to do?
I'd like first, if you'll blindfold me so that there can be no collusion by way of signals, I think it might make the act a little better. You just tie that blindfold at the rear of my head. Now I'll look out over the audience, and my mind is centering on the gentleman in the third row, second seat, from the aisle to the right.
That's me.
Would you stand up, sir?
Yeah.
Have you ever met me before? Or have I ever met you or said anything to you?
Not to my knowledge have we ever met, Mr.
All right, Ballinger. I want you to concentrate on what you did today on from the time you awoke to the time when you arrived at the studio.
Well, I got
I'll try to repeat or read your mind.
Up about 5:30
probably,
this
sir, I sense that you are an early riser. And this particular day you were planning on... I'm going somewhere, taking a trip of some kind.
That's right.
Am I correct so far, sir?
Yeah.
I'll ask the audience not to show any manifestation of approval or disapproval.
I have to keep my car in the
first
driveway.
Thing you did, of course, was have breakfast, only you only just had coffee this morning.
Hey, that's right.
And then you discovered that your vehicle, your automobile, wouldn't start when you got into it.
Holy cow.
Now, sensing that there was something wrong with the car, you took
cab.
Steps and you
and,
phoned the taxi cab company.
Cab driver came up, see,
and
said,
in a
hey,
short
buddy.
Time,
he said,
the cab arrived.
You don't have any gasoline in your car.
And the driver,
stopping.
I sensed the driver spotted the trouble.
Yeah.
He discovered that you had no gasoline in your tank.
Hey, that's right.
Thank you. Now then, sir, I am beginning to get. I'm beginning to get out. Just a moment, sir. Just a moment, sir. Just a moment, please.
Sorry.
I'm having a bit of difficulty keeping your brain waves clear. There's something entering. I'm getting concentration from Bob and Ray, and I get the message that I am not to be paid. Well, this performance. Am I right, Bob and Ray?
Definitely, Mr. Ballinger.
Yes, you've read our minds perfectly.
And,
Well, in that case, I'll just pack my belongings, leave the studio.
You've got a real problem there, buddy.
Humanitarians you are.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was Mr. Ballinger.
He won't be back.
Great mental gymnast.
Next time you refresh... Enjoy a frosty, ice-cold Pepsi-Cola.
Sociability, Charlie.
All right, Kay, how's this? Pepsi is light, refreshes without filling. You like to refresh. Have a Pepsi right now.
Well, offer it to everybody, Charlie.
I will. Enjoy Pepsi at the fountain. It's delicious at home, too. Have one at lunch or with a snack.
Charlie.
At the beach or at dinner. Wherever you go, wherever you're thirsty, Pepsi is there.
It's here, too, in our Be Sociable song.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
For the weekend, have plenty of Pepsi around. Pick up an extra carton today. CK, I'm sociable.
With Pepsi, everyone is.
Time now for Mr. Trace, keener than most persons as he takes from his files another case. The case of the hiccuping tragedian. Afternoon in the office of the surly old investigator as he and his assistant Spike Delancey sit looking out the window.
Oh, saints preserve us. Mr. Trace, this is as keen a day as I've seen in a long time.
Well, you're the person to pick it out keenly.
Well, I'll tell you this, Mr. Parson. I can keen a trace five times as many times as you could.
Well, I'm
put
certain.
Back in your trace and keep it.
Well, I'll be first if I know the... Oh, the telephone, Spike.
Oh. Hello. Yes, this is the office of Mr. Parsons.
What is it, a new case, Spike?
He's not too keen on it, no. Yes. All right, well, I'll see if he'll talk to you.
Hello.
Mr. Mosby.
Oh, just a minute.
If you want to talk to him, he's the producer, sir.
Yes, all right. Give me the phone receiver, Spike. Hello.
Hello.
This is Mr. Trace, keener than most persons.
Are you the famous tracker down of... lost people and nuts and things?
Mostly, yes.
Good. You see, I'm a famous producer who's putting on a Shakespeare play.
Yes, I read about it.
It's called Julius Caesar.
Yes.
And for some mysterious reason, at each performance, my cast gets hiccoughs and I suspect sabotage.
Strange indeed. Smells like dirty work to me.
I wonder if we could have your services, sir.
Yes, of course. My assistant Spike Delancey and I will be right over to the theater.
Fine. We're at the Martin Gable Theater.
Don't do anything until I get there.
Stay preserved.
Quiet, Spike. We've got to be on our way. Well, here we are, Spike.
Saints preserve us. Look at all them curtains and all them heavy weights.
It's a theater, Spike.
Oh, look at them actors out on the stage.
Don't anyone leave the... Oh, they can't leave. They're in the middle of the production.
Antonius.
Saints preserve us.
Lord, forget not in your speed, Antonius, to touch Calpurnia.
A very good production, it looks like, Spike.
Baron, touch it in this holy chase. Shake off their sterile thirst.
I remember. When Caesar says do this, it is performed.
Set on and leave no ceremony out.
It loses some of its flavor with all of that hiccuping, doesn't it?
I don't understand the words they say in any way.
Caesar!
Speak every night, be still!
Please, get
again.
Spike.
In the press that calls
Mr. Tracely.
Yes.
Lean back. The weight has fallen down. It'll hit you right on the mouth.
What do you mean, Spike?
Turn back, sir.
I'll be present if there's any... Those were shots, Spike. Look, someone's been shot in the balcony.
For example, I hiccups myself.
Yes, I'm suffering from the same problem myself. And so Mr. Trent goes about his mostly gassed with the case of the hiccuping cast. Be sure and join us next time when we'll hear Spike Delancey say...
Oh, says preserve us, sir. I feel like a nut.
In the next episode of Mr. Trace, keener than most persons.
Well, that was... Oh. See, that was nifty.
Do we have time to talk with a very charming lady, Bob, who collects famous cigarette and cigar butts and of famous people?
Yes, she's
kind of an interesting thing.
Right over there, Mr. Sula Proudfoot. I've been so anxious to talk to you, and I was so happy, Miss Proudfoot, to see your name on the rundown sheet when I came in today. I wonder if you'd come up here and sit down with us.
Had a lot of trouble with your rundown sheet.
I was
standing just backstage having her pick me up before I came on.
How does the show look from the wings?
Well, you kind of get a profile look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You look pretty good in profile.
Yes.
But your broadcasting partner,
Ray Eversham,
doesn't come through very well in profile.
Well, of course, that's not what we're here to discuss. The point that we want to make
I'm
is...
I'm here to discuss it, lady.
You want to raise the question?
Lady, would you turn sideways? Let me see your profile.
Okay. Glad you did that.
We're all even.
Now, ma'am,
I'm not too good at profile either. It's this bump in my nose, but it's a family thing. You should have seen my grandmother. She had a bump in her nose.
Well, let's get along to something a little bit more interesting and more widely understood by people.
Well, she's very interesting. You know, she helped invent the rubber heels.
Your grandmother?
Yes. She did a lot of very interesting things, but I'm not here to talk about her.
You're here to talk about the collection of cigarettes smoked by famous people, which you have. Is that right?
Yes.
Could we see some of them and hear a little bit of the history of some of them?
All right. Now, this one here belonged to the former mayor of Kearney, Indiana.
Let me hold this up. I wonder if all of the audience can see it. She has little labels on each.
Yeah, I might point out that he was reelected 3 times. Well, he was reelected twice. He was in office for 3 consecutive terms.
That's certainly wonderful. The mayor of Kearney, Indiana's cigarette, half smoked. He must have had to leave in a hurry.
This one here, with lipstick on it, belonged to a lady elephant trainer who came to our town in the year, 1923, or an 8.
Looks like 28.
Lady, I'm looking at your profile again.
I thought these were famous people's cigarettes anyway, and so far I haven't hit on anybody that I remember.
Well,
I mean, I don't know the
you
mayor.
You know every famous person who ever lived?
No. You mean
to tell me you don't think that the mayor of Kearney, Indiana was
Well, he probably was famous in Kearney, but I mean somebody who was well-known.
It's an 8,
anything
definitely.
By,
huh? It's an 8.
It's 1920 and 8, isn't it? Don't you have anything smoked by someone we all know?
Well, let me see. Now you've thrown me into a
I didn't mean
it.
How many do you have in all of these?
11.
And how long have you been collecting them?
Well, since this was the first one, 1928.
Well,
I thought I started in 1923, but I was wrong. I was in jail for 1923.
Do you trade them with other collectors of the same sort?
We get together and exchange them, yes.
Well, maybe we've inspired new interest in a rather unusual hobby, Miss Proudfoot.
No, you're a much better profile. Looking at you full up like that is funny.
Well, I'll try to stay that way.
Yeah.
Now, thank you for coming here.
It's been a pleasure.
Real pleasure talking to you. Hope you'll continue listening to our radio programs.
Yes, she does. Well, we're right down to the nub now, I guess. So we'll be back with our parting words in just 10 seconds.
Come, jot them down if you'd like. My parting words.
I can't think of any. Sparkling.
Say goodbye.
Girl. All right. Till tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get worried.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Bob and Ray will return tomorrow night, 15 minutes earlier than right now, on the CBS Radio Network.
And KCBS AM/FM San Francisco. San Francisco.